world's largest indoor cocktail party. The Bill King Show.
Buckle talks college football with us every Tuesday, each week of the year. And Buck, week seven, what stood out to you?
I know where to go find some mustard if I need it.
Oh,
feel. And look, I'm not gonna make light of that. I think, you know, you can be upset, you can do that, but you got to have a little bit more respect for the field and for your own players and your own folks. I mean, they had a chance to win that game. I know we'll get into that, and I'm sure you probably talked about it ad nauseum the last couple of days. You know, it's just Bama, you know, coming back to play the way they did. This Ed Orgeron deal is interesting because, you know, I got a chance to call their game after watching them against UCLA. It seems like it was more off-the-field stuff, and the on-the-field stuff helped to exacerbate it. It's a lot of different things that football-related, but also all the stuff that's kind of happened off the field as well.
Speaking of that mustard container, Buck, I like to think I've thought of everything, right? I know I haven't, but I at least like to think I have. I didn't know you put your booze in a mustard container and just spray it in your mouth during a game. I didn't know that was a thing.
I had no idea. I mean, you know, when you think about things and you say, okay, how am I going to do this? Yeah, you usually come up with some pretty inventive things. But that was one that I'm with you, Bill. I'm like, okay, I got a new understanding. It's not that I'm going to ever do that, but now that I know that's how they roll or that's how that person rolls, then you start laughing and just shake your head. And
also,
clearly, too many mustard squeezes, right?
Oh, here's another angle, Buck. At what point, as you're preparing to go to a game, do you decide, I think I'm going to put a golf ball in my pocket?
Well, you know, golf balls, I come from the era where they used to be batteries being thrown your way.
Yeah, that's true.
On the field. So I don't get it, but I kind of like, okay, maybe here's my only thought when I saw that. Hey, they had just got done playing. You know, you put tees or golf balls in your shorts and
right.
Whatever, then they just go straight to the stadium. That was what I tried to give the benefit of the doubt. But Lane even looks like, okay, a golf ball, really? Yeah, that was, hey, look, and I know it happens at other places, and that's what people are trying to say, but that doesn't justify it. And when your team has a chance and you are out there going, disturbing their rhythm and potential to make a play, that's what didn't make sense to me with that whole deal the other day.
Matt Corral, we were just talking about this. Lane Kiffin, and I think he's playing with the media here, but he is suggesting Matt Corral is so beat up from 30 carries now. He carried it 30 times for almost 200 yards in that game that he might be a no-go coming up for this LSU game.
I'm not buying it until I see it.
Right.
I'm not buying that. You know, maybe he's trying to play that role. You know how Lane is, man. Heck, you never know with him. I'm not buying that one at all.
Charles Arbuckle with us and Georgia Dog down on the Emerald Coast bringing this up. We go into the year with Georgia, and obviously we're talking Eric Gilbert, we're talking Darnell Washington. Buck, neither one of those guys is as good as Brock Bowers. Matter of fact, I haven't seen a tight end, and this kid's a true freshman out of Napa, California.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm missing it. I haven't seen a tight end in college football better than that kid.
Well, and maybe that's why Eric, you know, my guy left because he knew he wasn't going to get on the field. And, you know, and the big thing with that, it, 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 it just goes to show you where your quarterback is going to look and where he's going to be comfortable, right, Bill? Generally, a tight end's best friend. I mean, a quarterback is a tight end. Tight end is a quarterback's best friend. I mean, it just it is. I know from my experience in playing the position, but I also know in just talking to different quarterbacks, when they get in duress and they need to know where to go, they're going to look for the tight end. And I think, you know, we have to start looking at that and say, whoever can play Georgia, whoever can do that in that position is going to put themselves in the best possible light, especially with a guy that, you know, and I'm not saying this disparagingly, but he reminds you of the kid that was in that movie on the program, Joe Kane, undersized, you know, and I'm not saying his story is the same. Stetson Bennett seems like a great kid.
Right.
But his stature and the way he runs around reminds me of the program Joe Kane and a guy that was supposedly a Heisman Trophy candidate at 5'8", 5'9". Stetson Bennett is just really making plays. And it's going to be hard for JT Daniel, whenever he gets healthy, if he gets healthy, to come back and take that position because of guys like Brock Bowers who are playing well. You know, and just when you look at the defense, I say this every week, I feel like I'm looking at 13, 14 players just coming at you, whether it's Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, and it's really in that interior. Devontae Watt, I mean, they got guys that just get after you on the defensive side, and then offensively, you know Zamir White, Cook, you know, it's just a healthy dose of the running game that's going to come at you with the tight end Brock Bowers, who can also catch the ball. And you know, they're making enough plays on the outside. They're going to have to do a better job. I don't think they can continue to do that. They're going to have some kind of passing game. But their defense just does such a great job with field position and flipping the field that they make it so much easier for their offense right now. And until they're really pressed, I agree with you. I think this team has just really found a way to believe in themselves and each and every week, no matter what was said before the season, they're playing at a high, high level, and you better be able to match it when you play them.
Tez Arbuckle with us. Will in Northwest Arkansas is a big Boomer Sooner fan. He says, ask Buck his thoughts on the play of quarterback freshman Caleb Williams for OU.
Yeah, I think what they call him, Superman. And yeah. I'll say this about Caleb Williams. My first thought is always, how is he going to play now that he has, you know, he has some tape on him, right? How is he going to come and how is he going to play that next week? And, Bill, I really thought he played very well. And I think the big thing is he's going to have a bump in the road. But it looks like this offense now looks totally different with him. It gives him the element of the run game that they didn't have with Spencer Rattler. Not that he couldn't run. He just wasn't the same Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray kind of guy that could just get out there and get in open space. And the thing with Caleb Williams is he's always looking to throw the ball. But, man, when you get him out in space, he's a 4.5, looks like a 4.5, 4.4 guy. If he's not that fast, he plays that fast. And you can see his receivers, whether it's Mims or Hazelwood or those guys on the outside, they stay alive for him and they go and make plays. The one thing with Oklahoma's, you know, offense is that they don't have a true tight end this year. Jeremiah Hall is kind of their H-back guy. That's the one thing with their offense that kind of surprises me because they always have a really good tight end. I think Jeremiah is kind of substituting as that, I think, Braden Willis. But they don't have a true tight end. They've just got some big receivers. And I know they got Jeremiah Hall listed as 6'2", 248. And what I like about him is the versatility. So I think what this offense has done is Lincoln Riley has said, okay, this is how we're going to kind of line up. These are some of the things that we're going to do. And they've done a really nice job of that explosiveness that they didn't have early in the year and making sure that guys can make plays. And I think a lot of it is because you got a young quarterback in Caleb Williams. But those folks, especially the offensive line, look like, hey, if we just hold people for a little bit, this guy can just fly by us and make some plays. So I think their offense has figured it out. They still need to get better on defense. They're still giving up way too many points, way too many yards. For my liking, but I think now that they have an offense that is explosive, that might help them get better on the defensive side.
Remarking earlier about this too, Clemson, Buck, is a 3.5-point underdog at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And I think part of it is because of Pitt's ability to score the ball,
right,
and Clemson's inability to to do that. There's a few things that have happened at Clemson. You know, you lose those you lose Trevor Lawrence. We know that ATN is gone. So right away, the productivity of 60 to 70% is like gone. You have receivers that are inexperienced and really not developed. And I think Amari Rodgers has probably missed more than we thought. The offensive line at Clemson has just not been good. And that's been a few years in the making. Trevor Lawrence, I think, protected them and hid that. And what's the problem is you can say you've recruited well, but if you're not good up front physically, I don't care what league you play in, you're going to struggle. And that's what we're seeing with Tony Elliott and that Clemson offense. Unfortunately, there's nowhere to turn once you get to the season. And, you know, you can say, well, DJ looks, you know, tentative. He looks this. But if you don't have a good offensive line, I don't care who you put back there. They're not going to play well. And I was surprised at the receiving core not being better this year. Now, I'm not going to call out any one guy, but I'm going to say the whole group. I thought that was going to be a better group for them. But partially, if the quarterback can't get protected, doesn't have time, or doesn't feel comfortable, then you can see where that's leading them. I'll say this, their defense plays really well. And if they win that game against Pitt, it's going to come on the heels of that defense. Brent Venables has been playing some really, really good football. And, you know, they've got guys like Skalski and, you know, some Baylen Specter, some of the names that you've seen for a while that are now graduating, and then some of these young freshmen that they're incorporating in there to play some really good football as well.
Two big jobs open, Buck, Southern Cal and LSU. Those are monster jobs if handled right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's just a really interesting thing with LSU kind of seeing that how they struggled at the end of last year and then came into this year and then just how that folded. But also thinking about when you look at it from the standpoint of just all, you know, everything that was happening and you win a national championship, those guys leave, you lose a lot of players. I mean, you can see those guys playing on Sunday now, whether it's Jamar Chase or Joe Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then it didn't get better, right? They couldn't run the football. UCLA exposed some things, even though UCLA is, you know, they're starting to look a little bit better, but we'll see against Oregon this week. But when you're an LSU team that can't run the football, then you have all those off-the-field problems. It made it easy for them to find a way to say, okay, let's go have a conversation with Coach O and make that move. And that now USC is open. You know, that's going to be all the coaches that you think of that everybody says, oh, you don't go talk to Chris Peterson. Well, you know, he's going to get a call first and foremost because he's on that Fox set every week. And those guys there are definitely try to kind of connect with them. But it's all the other coaches that we hear every single year, whether it's James Franklin, whether it's, you know, Campbell out of Iowa State. I mean, pick, you know, is it Lincoln Riley? I know the Oklahoma Sooner fan base doesn't want to hear that. Is it Mel Tucker, who's doing a great job at Michigan State? There's a lot of names of guys that have built programs, and will they want to take on either one of those to programs that have a lot of, you know, have a lot of money, and both have a lot of, you know, eyes on them, so to speak. So I'm interested to see how that plays out when the coaching search really gets heated up.
Buck, are you traveling or are you home this weekend?
Home this weekend. I have Boston College and at Syracuse next weekend.
All right. Buck, see you next week, sir. Appreciate it very much.
All right, man. Take care.
Charles Arbuckle,